And let us turn to the last chapter of Colossians. We will be looking at the last section of the book of Colossians, chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 2 and reading through the end of the book this morning. As we look at the greetings which we have at the end of these books, oftentimes we kind of jump past them. But I think we need to realize the beauty and the awesomeness of the greetings that God gives to us from our brothers and sisters all of these centuries ago, but also the greetings that we have from our brothers and sisters across the world today, and that we are one church and we need one another as the church of Christ across this world, across this nation. So let us hear together God's word, Colossians chapter 4. Beginning reading at verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician in Demas, greets you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation in my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read the conclusion of this letter, of this epistle from Paul to the church in Colossae, we have the greetings of many fellow Christians. And we have to understand how awesome this is to be a part of the church of God, which goes from not just sea to shining sea, but across this whole world. And that we should, with Epaphras, pray, labor fervently for God's church in prayers. That we should be praying regularly for those who are in need, for God's people across this world. We are a part of a greater church, even than our own denomination, than our own those in our own country. We are a part of the kingdom of God. We so often forget about that fact. We are part of one church of all believers. And we need one another. We need our fellow Christians. Too often we think we can live as a Christian in our own place, on our own. But brothers and sisters, even notice the openings of this as Paul requests their prayer Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul needs their prayers. I, as your pastor, need your prayers. The fellow pastors of our denomination and all pastors on this earth need your prayers. That the gospel would go out. That there would be those raised up for the future to speak God's word. Future pastors, that we need one another as God's people. We are not atoms that come together on a Sunday morning and then bounce off going into our other directions, but that we are a body, the body of Christ. And in fact, you've perhaps heard me say this before, but there is a passage that says, I want to see Jesus. Now, what does Jesus look like? We talked about pictures and images this morning. Does he look like a pictures? Was he a white guy with long locks of dark hair? Jesus was Israeli. Israelis are not blonde, blue-eyed. They're dark-skinned. As we said, pictures teach lies. We have to realize, how then do people see Jesus? They see Jesus in us as we live His Word in this world. We are Christians, at least we call ourselves that, which means little Christs. That we live in this world as the image of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And we are then to show Christ in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. That we as Christians show Christ in our lives by how we act. Christians, honestly, have a bad name in the world because we think we can get along because we're saved. We don't have to live in and among the world. We live how we want to. We are called to live as the witness of Christ to a world which is in grave need of the truth. And so as we look at this passage of God's Word, we are encouraged in the Christian ministry. Not just me as a pastor, but each one of us to live the gospel of Christ before this world. It is closing encouragement in the church's ministry. In verses 2 through 6, we see that we are spreading the ministry of the gospel. In verses 7 through 14, we see encouragement through our fellow believers. And in verses 15 through 18, we see that we have greetings sent through God's people to fellow believers. So spreading the ministry of the gospel in verses 2 through 6. Prayer for that ministry. We as Christians need to be praying for our ministers, for those who bring God's words to us. Continue earnestly in prayer. Notice that's not even directed toward the minister. Certainly he goes that direction. But brothers and sisters, our lives ought to be lives of prayer. That we ought to be central in prayer, ready, instant in prayer is an old way of saying it. Not waiting, but immediate when a need comes up, praying. That we pray. In fact, he says, be vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving, being watchful by our prayers, praying, Lord, help us to see what's really going on. Because so many things are hidden and upside down and backwards from us as human beings Without God's Spirit revealing them to us, we often can be confused. But we need to be in prayer with thanksgiving, always in thankfulness to God, knowing where these things come from. They don't come from our abilities or from our righteousness. All of this stuff comes from God because He is gracious to us, not because we deserve it. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, praying for one another in perseverance and in supplication, praying for things from God for His people. And then he continues, praying for us, praying for those who bring God's Word, that God would open a door for His Word. If you struggle because my sermons don't affect you, part of the reason would be you need to pray that God would give me words to you. Maybe that's a scary thought, but brothers and sisters, it's an important thing that God would use me to speak to you, to your lives. Not just words, but the truth into each life here. Ephesians 6 verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Again, notice the mystery there. The gospel is not something we can come to on our own ideas. It is not that which occurs naturally to mankind. That is part of the brokenness that happened in the fall. That we need the Spirit of God to cause us to hear. And we need to be praying for the spreading of that gospel. Because it's not natural for us as human beings to believe the gospel. We need to be praying that God would spread it. And pray for Paul. Pray for those who are in prison because of the gospel. Right now, we need to be praying for those who are in Afghanistan, who are believers. And especially for the pastors of those churches who are there. Because many of them are in prison. And yet I have heard that since this, it has been an opportunity for the gospel to go out, despite what it looks like from the exterior. We need to be praying for them. And notice what he says. That I may make it manifest as I ought. Because as a pastor, I have propensities that are not according to God's words. And I need to bow before God's word. I need to speak that which I ought, not that which is in my mind. Because I am a sinner and I fail. And he says, living for the spread of the gospel. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Notice, Paul says, pray for yourselves, that you can live for the spread of the gospel, that you would walk in wisdom toward those outside. Jesus said, Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Again, how does that happen? Except by the power of God, by praying. Making the best use of the time, redeeming the time. Teach us, Lord, the psalmist says, to number our days so that we don't think we have all the time on the earth. So that we have an earnestness, a purpose in our lives, driving us forward. That the gospel would be spread. Not just the purpose of whatever I think is important. Notice what it says, verse 6. How do we do that? Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Again, this is why when we're doing Sunday school downstairs, we're looking at how do we bring the gospel to those around us so that we know the answers so that we can bring them to other people. And I'm sorry to say, I don't think I'm going to be doing that this morning, just because, just as I said earlier, I wasn't able to greet everyone this morning. I don't think that's wise. We've got Fellowship Sunday anyway, so that's a good opportunity for fellowship. But Lord willing, we're going to get going on that by the grace of God. Hopefully next week, Lord willing. But so that our speech would be with grace. What's grace? The gospel, the good news. Certainly we need to live with grace, with undeserved favor toward the people around us. Our world tries to do the exact opposite, and everybody's angry at each other. But we need to have our language seasoned with salt, with the gospel again. How often do we really talk about the gospel to those around us? Jesus said, Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. We need to talk about the gospel with those around us. Don't let that opportunity go past. Praying that we may know how we ought to answer each one. Always having that track in the back of our mind saying, God, help me. Because I can't. We can't. It is only by the grace of God. But God gives us the words. We seek to learn, as we said down in Sunday school and other places, that we would have good words to say. But in the end, God is the one who finally uses those words and puts them in the right order. Even when we stumble and stutter, God can use that to bring His gospel in a manner that they will hear. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So, realize God is holy and be ready. How do we be ready? We study. We read that Word of God. We have it. We memorize it so that we're prepared with it. So that we have something worthwhile to say instead of, so, looking forward to some more rain. Which is a good thing, but doesn't get you very far, does it? We need to speak the truth of God's words. That we are ready as Christians not only to deal with people whose lives are pretty decent, but with the struggles and the nastiness of this world. Because guess what? We live in a broken world. We are broken. And we have an awesome God who saves sinners, not just those who are pretty good. Kind of like me. Saves sinners. And we have encouragement through our fellow believers. We have in these verses direct news of Paul. Tychicus brings news. And Tychicus is, we read, a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. And he says, he's going to bring the news about Paul. And that's one of the reasons we do Mission Fest and other things, is so that we can know about other churches. And I think our Mission Fests have kind of lost their savor. It would be so good to have missions pastors and those who are from across this world bringing the gospel, bringing the news to us. We have these opportunities with all of the electronics and stuff that we have nowadays. We should really have the festival of what's going on in the world church, not just in our backyard. Tychicus will return that news of them to Paul. We are working together as the church, and I rejoice. I get contact with the brothers and sisters in the Congo on a pretty regular basis. It's been a little difficult recently, but I finally got some more connection even this morning. But brothers and sisters, we need fellow Christians across this world. We are not just a church here in Eureka or an individual living wherever we happen to live. We are a part of the body of Christ. And we need to realize that our fellow Christians across this world are struggling with the same things you and I are struggling with. And it's a beautiful thing when we have those opportunities to gather together, because we can share, how did you work through this? How did I work through this? Are there better ways? Is there wisdom that I haven't been given, that perhaps another brother or sister in Christ has been given? We need that. We used to have family camp where we got together as families, convention. And that was so good to get to know our brothers and sisters across the RCUS, across this country. We need that. We need our fellow Christians. And then we have this words as well of Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave. If you've read the book of Philemon, he's a fellow and beloved brother, Paul says about him. And he's one of you. He's a Greek. And he says, Tychicus and Onesimus will get together, make known to you all the things that are happening with Paul. Paul, of course, is in prison. And yet he's being used to bring the gospel. And we have further greetings from fellow laborers of the faith. Notice a couple of these things, these greetings and recommendations about those living what Paul had taught in this epistle. Paul selects certain ministers and gives them his seal of approval as those who preach the truth. You've heard me say, this is why we have exams for those who desire to be ministers, so that we can give them the seal of approval. This is a person who knows the truth and will preach the truth. And so Paul gives a list to Aristarchus, Paul's fellow brother. Notice that it's not about being a prisoner, but his service and faith in Christ. We have Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, John Mark, who Paul didn't like so very much early on. Remember, they were split. And now Paul says that he is, they've received instructions about him, and elsewhere he says he's a beloved brother and necessary for the preaching of the gospel. So even though sometimes there might be splits and difficulties in the church, yet there is still a fellow desire for the gospel. We have Jesus, who is called Justice, again, another worker for the kingdom. These are the ones who are from a Jewish background, of the circumcision, we're told. And we read that they were a comfort to Paul. And then we have Epaphras, verses 11 and 12, who apparently was with Paul. He's from Colossae, and he greets them. And he is laboring for them in prayer. And what does he pray for them? What ought we be praying for our fellow Christians in our own congregation, but also for our churches and for all Christians across this world, that they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? Where do we know the will of God? From the Word of God, studying it. And we're told that he is laboring for them in prayer. Romans 15:30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Strive for in prayers. And that's not just, hey, God, I remember so-and-so's got some difficulties. But truly praying and regularly coming before God in prayer for those who are in trials, those who are experiencing difficulties, and for those who bring God's word to us, need your prayers. We're told that Epaphras has a great zeal for those in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. And we're also told of another, Demas, Luke and Demas, Paul's traveling companions, that they send greetings. But not only that, then, greetings are sent forward through the church in Colossae. And we as Christians are not to stop. It's not just about me and about me getting greetings and getting built up by the preaching of God's word and what God has done for me. But then it ought to flow forward through us to those around us, that greetings and the gospel would flow out to those around us, to fellow believers. And so we have a letter of encouragement to fellow Christians. Now we read in the Bible letters sent to certain churches, and we might perhaps wonder, aren't we just reading others' mail in reading the New Testament epistles? But we're told that these letters are for other people, for the brothers in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. That the greetings go on to those other churches. And we are in fellowship with our other Christians across this world. We are in the communion of saints, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, with saints across the planet. And so this epistle was to be read to the church in Laodicea, and there's also an epistle that has been lost that was to Laodicea that was to be read in Colossae. Notice a couple of things there. Paul wrote an epistle that wasn't for the Bible. It was to the church in Laodicea. We don't have it today. We do have the one for the Colossians, and that was kept by God to be a part of the Bible. And so we can say with perfect understanding, some things that Paul said weren't, fully to be inscripturated, but some were. And they have the self-attesting realization that they are the Word of God. And these letters come to us today to guide us in our faith, to show us how do we live as Christians in a world that, yes, is different, but in many ways has not changed. That we can live in this world with the gospel, that we need one another as Christians. Even as we've been seeing, this world is attacking God's people. Yet, we know that God is the one who cares for us, that God protects us, and that we have the Word of God. We can stand on that more firmly than on the ground beneath our feet. And we have encouragement in the ministry of the Word, verse 17. And to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Their minister needed a strengthening in the gospel. And we have the greeting from Paul's own hand. This salutation, verse 18, from my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, grace be with you. Paul sends this letter from chains, from prison. That we as Christians live in this world. We're not in chains. Remember those who are in chains for the gospel. And we need to understand that no matter what happens, that we can have the hope of the undeserved favor of God, the grace of God, and that God brings that to you and I today through this letter written to the church in Colossae 2,000 approximately years ago. That we have fellow Christians that have gone before, and that we have fellow Christians today. That we need to be in prayer for them, that we need to be in prayer for our leaders in the church, and that we need one another as Christians as we seek as the body of Christ to live in this broken world, realizing that our strength, our hope is in Christ and not in the things of this world. And so, brothers and sisters, I commend to you, I remind you, that we need to be praying for one another. There are so many times in which we might say, I can't do anything for these people or those people. But brothers and sisters, the most powerful thing we can be doing is praying. And we need to be doing that. And we need one another as Christians, because God has given us one another. And we are a part of that one body of Christ. So that when one part hurts, we all hurt. And when one part rejoices, we all rejoice. We care for one another as the body. When we have hurts in our body, our whole body feels it, doesn't it? And we care for one another as the body of Christ. Lifting up one another when there is hurt. And rejoicing with one another. As we rejoice before our God who gives to us all of these things carefully, wisely, for our good and His glory. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer, shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious, Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you care for us perfectly, and that how part of how you care for us is giving to us one another as Christians. And so, Lord, we pray that we would not try to live on our own as Christians, but that we would live as the body of Christ, the communion of the saints, fellowshipping with one another as a church, but fellowshipping as well with one another as Christians across this world. We do pray for our brothers and sisters who are in danger of their very lives today in Afghanistan and across this world. We pray, Lord, for strength, for safety. We pray, Lord, for boldness, that you would not allow them to apostatize in the face of danger. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us as well that strength, that we would live our lives seasoned with salt, that our words would be filled with grace, filled with your gospel. And we pray, Lord, that you would cause many to hear the wonders of your gospel and turn to you. We pray, Lord, for the overthrow of those who would do evil, who would persecute your church. And we thank you, even as we heard in our call to worship, that you will judge righteously. Help us, Lord, to be emboldened, even as we think of those who are even now in chains, that you would give us boldness to speak your truth, and that you would call many to yourself to the ends of the earth. We pray, Lord, for that fellowship of the gospel with one another and with your church across this country and across this world. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, the head of the body of Christ, praying as he himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.